Welcome to the Wake and Bake Podcast, a weekly digest of some of the segments that make up WFMU's weekday morning show, Wake and Bake, heard in its entirety Monday through Friday, 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern on WFMU.org. If you like what you heard, join me live every morning for the full show, which includes a lot more than what you'll hear here. You can also hear the full show on streaming archives at wfmu.org/playlists/WA. I've been so frenetic this morning with the coffee, and it's just nerves. It's holiday stress, man. Woman, child, we need to take a little walk in the woods. Oh, look, there's an old Zagnut wrapper. Pick it up and throw it away. Zagnut wrappers in the woods. Would you like a little pixie dust? Would it help in the midst of this holiday season? Just a little dust. We don't always do it on Tuesday. It's a special day, though. So nice. Here's your dust.
You come to a stop at the intersection at 5th and 34th. You turn right onto 34th. Across the street is the Empire State Building.
1,250 feet. The tallest structure in the history of mankind.
The 102-story Art Deco skyscraper, completed in April 1931, was the tallest building in the world for almost 40 years following its completion.
Jesus said, Jesus Christ, you're tall.
Yeah.
Originally, the spire at its top had been designed as an airship dock.
The ill-fated Hindenburg, on her last flight, sails over New York.
In 1935, from the top of this same spire, Carl McEachron photographed the first ever recorded instance of lightning traveling upwards. Electricity flowed from the top of the Empire State Building into the sky above, scattering into the cloud bed. For WFMU, this is Gabriel Cohen.
If you'd swing that spotlight around just a little, shine it brightly on one very special town in our listening area. Our civic showcase today features Ridgefield Park, New Jersey. Ridgefield Park in Bergen County, New Jersey, population 12,729, and it's shrinking. Now, way before the white man came to New Jersey, the Lenape Native Americans lived for generations in the area, which now comprises Ridgefield Park.
Many moons ago, tribe leave Massachusetts because pilgrims ruin neighborhood.
Robert Earle was the first English settler. He bought up lots of land to distribute to other English settlers, but then the Dutch arrived too. Most of these settlers came by land, though some navigated the Overpeck Creek.
Oh.
You could get as far north as Englewood back then.
Aww.
During the Revolutionary War, loyalties were split among the farmers of the area. Some were loyal to Britain. Others longed for freedom.
They may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom!
George Washington's troops traversed the area often during the conflict.
Yes.
By the late 19th century, one could find summer cottages on the Overpeck Creek as city people sought a taste of the country life away from the noise and clamor of the urban environment.
Pardon me, would you have any gray poupon?
The Northern Railroad came in 1859. The area was considered a scenic wonder to behold by the enthralled passengers. The first schoolhouse was built in December of 1876. There were 40 buildings then, a post office, a railroad depot, and two churches.
Just go into churches and say, give me the 99-cent deal, please.
During 1893, the wooden sidewalks were removed. James N. Marshall's invention, the leaf hog, came to be in the 1950s. Other notables include actor Ozzie Nelson. You know the rock group Nelson?
No!
That's their grandpa.
What the heck is going on here?
Captain Robert A. Lewis, also from Ridgefield Park, co-pilot of the Enola Gay that dropped the atomic bomb on Japan. We're glad you're listening, Ridgefield Park. We're proud to be your radio station.
Hi, I'm Cheyenne from the Free Music Archive, an online library of Creative Commons and public domain music. My pick of the week today is called Wine, Wine, Wine by the Stompin' Riffraffs. The song was brought to the FMA by WFMU DJ Rex.
On the Fun 91, WFM. Yeah!
In 2012, this band from Tokyo played a blazing rockabilly set. Wine, Wine, Wine is about the drink, not the complaint. So if you needed a little hair of the dog this morning, this one's for you.
Boone's Farm Strawberry Hill.
So raise a glass, or even a full bottle now, for Wine, Wine, Wine by the Stompin' Riffraffs.
Every rose has its thorn, just like every night has its dawn.
At 2 o'clock
in the morning on any TV station, you can see a emaciated Somalian kid with flies all over him. And they say something like, for the price of a cup of coffee, you can feed Bijou and his family for a month. Now, why the hell does Bijou have to eat flies while Michael Bloomberg gets to have $25 billion? I'm not saying that he hasn't earned it or he hasn't made it, but there comes a point where with that great amount of wealth and power, you're supposed to have a great responsibility to end. His watch can save Bijou, his whole village, the surrounding villages for the next 50 years. Why does Bijou have to eat flies?
I don't know.
Also, there's another one that ticks me off. Like 2 o'clock in the morning in South America, you see a little Pablito. They say something like, I can't even watch these things for long because they're so heart-wrenching. I'm not a millionaire. You know, I work, you know, but even with the small income I have, it breaks my heart to know that this exists in a world of so much plenty. They say something like, Pablo shouldn't be drinking out of this water. It's where the human waste is. He'll probably not live to see his third birthday. And he's sitting there, he doesn't have any shorts on. He's got a t-shirt on, little Spanish boy. And then they cut to his sister and they say, his sister Maria has heard of a thing called school. She's never actually seen one. And I'm like, what the hell is, how the hell? And then Jay-Z has, you know what I'm saying, watches that can, this is just, it's obscene greed and wealth. How could me, one man, that's why I turn the TV when I see Pablito in South America. I'm like, oh my God, I can't even eat no more hamburgers. I'm measuring my food by the foot here in America. I'm trying to see what kind of foot-long food I can eat, and this dude is eating flies. So when I see that, it overwhelms me, but then I have to realize, If I can touch just one other person, then my power increases ever so slightly in a larger concentric circle.
Are you hopeful for the future?
Yes. Yes, I am.
Thank you, man. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone, from WFMU. Now here's station manager Ken with your Hump Day Hazmat Report.
Thank you, Clay Pigeon. Three, count them, three meth labs this morning. First in Orange Park, Florida. A woman arrested Monday morning during a meth lab bust that caused the evacuation of a hotel. Detectives smelled the stuff inside and the narcotics team, fire department, and hazmat crews were called in because the chemicals used to manufacture methamphetamine can explode. And explode they did in Potter County, Pennsylvania. Details now emerging about an explosion and fire in the Denton Hills Barracks, which police say resulted from a recreational vehicle-based meth lab. Lakeland, Florida, a train carrying molten sulfur derailed in Lakeland early Monday morning, causing a hazardous, oozy, gelatinous, toxic orange leak. Olean, New York, for the second time in less than 3 weeks, authorities discovered potentially hazardous chemicals upon responding to a house fire. Firefighters and police officers found potentially dangerous chemicals involved with the manufacture of not only meth, but fentanyl, steroids, and ecstasy. Several hazmat worker members could be seen walking around the apartment wearing hazmat suits Friday night. Nashville, Tennessee.
Hold it, station manager Ken. We're out of time. Exploding meth labs and RVs. I can't believe it. Let's go to the audience now. Sometimes they're generous and allow you to do a bonus hazmat report item. Let's see if they're willing today. Audience, you want another one? They want another one, station manager Ken.
Good news in Washington, D.C. Fire officials credit a carbon monoxide detector for preventing serious illness or death to the residents of a Southwest Washington apartment building Saturday afternoon. High levels of the silent killer were found inside the building. DC Fire says the source of the hazmat was traced to a defective killer boiler.
And there he is, Station Manager Ken, with your hazmat report today here on Wake and Bake. It is indeed a dangerous world out there, my friends. Be careful. I'm talking to Scott Williams.
Hey, Clay Pigeon.
Scott, do you believe in psychic ability, ESP?
Yeah, I think I do.
Do you feel like you have any?
I think everybody does.
Let's give it a shot. I'm going to ask you to think of a number between 1 and 5 while the audience tries to get on your wavelength. Scott, what number were you thinking of between 1 and 5?
I was thinking of 3.
Scott said 3. Let's try another one, a simpler one. The primary colors, red, yellow, blue. Blue, red, yellow, blue, red, yellow. Audience, what color is Scott Williams thinking of right now? Scott, what is it?
I was thinking of yellow.
Scott said yellow.
Whoa!
Audience, how you doing so far? Is anybody 2 for 2?
Yeah.
Let's see if you can go all the way and get on Scott's wavelength. Scott, this is the easy one. A or B? B, A or A? B. His face is a mask of concentration. Audience, what do you think he's thinking of, A or B? Scott?
I tried to stop thinking about it, and B came right on in.
B. How'd you do, audience? Did anybody go 3 for 3?
No.
Were you on Scott's wavelength? Scott, thanks for playing our game.
Thanks for having me, Clay.
What's your message for our listeners today?
B.
That's good. I'll put the sound of a bee in there. Let's check in with Chalky.
Thanks, Clay. And this week's word of the week is an old word that means a newcomer. And that word is neophyte.
Neophyte? Neophyte? A person who is new to a subject, skill, or belief.
The word dates back at least to 14th century Britain, referring to someone who is new at something, although its roots, neo for new and phyte for plant, so newly planted, go back to the ancient Greek.
Gloria Deo Pecunesin, oel naisite basidios.
In the 16th century, neophyte was applied to a new convert to the church.
Neophyte.
And the following century, it showed up in an English translation of the Bible.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
That's when it really caught on and controversy ensued.
Yeah.
With critics calling the word fake Latin and pretentious.
Myself, my brother, and my dad, the three of us can speak pig Latin fluently. I am a udge. It is a owing snake. A enge. I a n k a eble ebe evle it a.
Neophyte.
The word isn't used much these days, though. Today we're more likely to call someone a newbie, which is obviously just new with a belittling suffix.
Okay, I'm a lame, loser-ass, hard-case newbie.
That word seems to have come from late 1960s army slang.
Sir, you got a war face? Ah! That's the war face. Now let me see your war face. Ah! You don't scare me! Work on
newbie.
In 1983, we saw the first shortening of that to noob, spelled N-E-W-B. And then around 2000, it evolved into the internet misspelling of N-O-O-B.
But can you imagine doobie in your funk?
Oh!
Ho! Neophyte?
But deriding neophytes is nothing new.
Aww.
In the early 15th century, they were called newings, a contraction of new thing.
All the new cans of Coke were clearly labeled with a tag that said new, and the product became known as New Coke.
And in the 1940s, they were newies.
What we have is good on any other paper, and you know it. We're a team.
So there you go, Clay. Even with internet slang, everything old is new again. Back to you.
What's your first name?
Josip.
Josip, are you ready for the holidays this year?
Yes and no.
Now, we're here in Union Square Park. There's lots of little shops set up, and suddenly I'm realizing, oh my gosh, it's almost time.
It's that time of the year, yeah.
Right, do you plan in advance, or do you wait till the last minute?
I'm a last minute type of guy, always.
Have you started this year with
Not at all.
Are you nervous?
Oh, yeah. Nervous about whether or not I'm going to have the money to get everybody gifts, you know. Some years I get gifts, other years I don't.
How about you? Are you ready for the holidays?
I am ready for the holidays.
Clay Pigeon, WFMU, Jersey City.
All right, yeah, Jersey City.
Where do you guys live?
I live in the Netherlands.
Is it a good life over there?
Definitely a really good life over there. Yeah, good quality of life. You know, my wife only has to work 4 days a week, free health care, free education.
What's your holiday message to all our listeners in Jersey City and New York and all around the world?
You know, family's everything, you know? Gifts and presents aren't really it. It's being with the people that that are closest to you.
How about you?
Love is stronger than hate. Love your family. Be close to them. Stay present. Just be happy. Enjoy whatever it is that you have.
I'm from Jersey City. I'm in the Heights.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
What do you love about Jersey?
I've been there for a long time. It's nice to get out of this the chaos over here in New York. I used to live in New York as well. Jersey's a nice way to kind of, you know, you're right. You're still close to New York, close enough, but far enough to get away from all the madness.
Thanks, so, man.
Yeah, no problem.
Okay.
Have a good one.
How are you today?
I'm fine.
And what's your name?
Barbara.
Barbara, are you ready for the holidays this year, or did they sneak up on you?
I'm ready.
Do you give gifts at the holiday time?
Oh, yes, I do.
Right, and you plan in advance?
Yes.
Have you already gotten a lot of shopping done?
No, not yet. I'm almost finished. I got a couple more weeks to go.
Are you feeling it this year? Are you feeling
Yes, very much so. I've never seen it so festive.
Right. Are you generally a positive, optimistic person?
Yes.
How do you stay that way?
I believe in the man up there.
Do you?
And I'm surrounded by good people.
What's your message to everybody in our listening area?
We need to love each other a little bit more. Respect and give.
Is there not enough love you're
seeing? Especially to the homeless, the old people, and the soldiers.
I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
My pleasure. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thoughts and opinions on the topics and people that matter most to us. It's Quick Takes with Fabio. Fabio, what's on your mind this week?
So what's the latest hip fad in town?
I don't
know.
You know.
I don't
know.
You know, we've been living with beards and buns on guys for years already now.
Grow your beard.
Beard motivation.
I love beards. You can do it. Grow that beard.
It's a particularly fun combination when you see the beard and the bun. But that's already passé.
It certainly is a big bun.
It's a very big bun.
Big fluffy bun.
It's a very big fluffy bun.
What are we looking at for the future?
I don't
know.
I think I have it.
The Denerex Dandruff Shampoo Difference.
On this side, I feel a tingling sensation.
I think I have it because I've seen already a few people doing this. And it's really funny when I see it because it's a complete throwback to the 1950s. Probably in a way, it makes sense given the environment, let's call it, that we live in today. The political environment, the social and political environment.
You're not adding a third industry.
We are.
You're transforming it from an illegal industry
alcohol,
to a legal industry.
Tobacco,
you're
marijuana
Howard,
is a disaster
Howard, Howard, you're
for
transforming it from
So the thing that I see coming down the pike as a trend, as a fad, as a fashion accessory for men, is pipes.
Pipe tobacco.
Pipes.
Pipe tobacco.
Pipes. Smoking pipes.
Pipe after pipe after pipe.
That's right. Pipes.
Pipe tobacco.
Pipes.
pipe tobacco.
Pipes.
Smoking pipes.
Pipe after pipe after pipe.
That's right. It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. Put that in your pipe and smoke it.
And now, Clay Pigeon.
Hey, everybody. Our wake and bake animal of the week is the dog.
Who let the dogs out?
Hoot, 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 hoot.
Who let the dogs out?
Dogs were domesticated by humans thousands of years ago, as evidenced by our renderings of them on cave walls. Remains of dogs have been found inside human corpses as much as 15,000 years old.
Wow.
Yeah.
Dog's closest relative is the gray wolf. Of course, they're predators and scavengers. They've got canine teeth made for catching and tearing. You know, dogs are uniquely attuned to us. They react to our body language. They understand our voice commands.
Come on, Hugo. Sit. Good boy. Good boy.
Dogs communicate with other dogs using their tails, wagging or tucking them between their legs. There are 900 million dogs spread across the globe.
I don't believe that. Somebody's lying.
40% of American homes have at least one dog.
Okay, Daddy, you get the stick, you get your elbow.
Oh, yeah, you're beautiful.
Ooh. Dogs come in all sizes, from a little Yorkshire Terrier, only 2.5 inches tall at the shoulder, to an English Mastiff, weighing a whopping 343 pounds. It's been shown that mutts live longer than purebreds, and fat dogs don't live as long.
You should be aware that if your dog is overweight, she will probably live a shorter, less comfortable life than she would if she was lighter.
The average dog lives around 10 to 13 years.
One moment, please.
The oldest dog ever was said to be 29 and a half years old when he died. Some household plants are poisonous to dogs. Begonias, poinsettias, aloe vera is bad too. Our foods can hurt dogs. Onion and garlic, grapes and raisins, macadamia nuts, especially dark chocolate. That can be deadly. In some cultures, people eat dogs. $13 to $16 million a year in Korea, China, and Vietnam. 3 to 4 million dogs and cats are put down each year because there aren't enough homes for them. Spaying and neutering helps and is strongly suggested. Dogs, best friend to man, women, and children. We love dogs at Wake and Bake. We hope you do too.
Good morning, radio listeners. This is your favorite cheesemonger, Wendy Del Formaggio, with your weekly cheese report. Are you afraid of goat cheese?
Yeah.
Stop that right now and listen to me.
Yeah.
Most people who think they don't like goat cheese have only had that mushy stuff that comes in a stiff, plastic wrap sort of tube thing.
High on a hill was a lonely goat herd, lay, hoddle, lay, hoddle, lay.
If that's you, go to a good cheese shop and ask for goat gouda, or goat blue, or goat cheddar, and try a sample. You'll be surprised at how sweet those cheeses are.
I like cheese. I like cheese. I like cheese. I like cheese. Cheese. I like cheese. I like cheese. I like cheese. I like cheese.
While we're on the subject, don't believe what people say about goat cheese being low fat. It's not.
Aww.
The difference in fat content between cow, sheep, and goat's milk is negligible. That mushy tube cheese has a lower fat content than a harder cheese of any animal's milk because its moisture content is higher. That's why it's soft, and water has no fat in it.
No.
Fat.
Now you know, and knowing's half the battle. Back to you, Clay.
Let's quickly go to the phone. I think we've got Staten Island on the horn. Are you there, Staten Island?
I am. It's Frank. How are you, Clay? Good morning.
Hey, Frank. How you doing?
Doing well. Doing well. You told me to call back, and there's a reason I called. I love that segment you did in the news about who drinks more, or who could handle more drinking, the Scotsman, the Irishman, the Englishman.
Okay. What do you want to say about that, Frank?
All right, about 16 years ago, I guess it was 2 years before I got sober, I was drinking for a week, St. Patrick's Day, and I hung out in this Irish bar with all these guys from Cork. So at the last night of 5 days of continual drinking, there was a Scotsman in there, and he had his buddy, who was a school teacher.
Right.
The three of us were joined by the owners of the bar, who were from Cork. They brought out a homemade bottle of poteen, which is like their moonshine.
Right, right.
And they started pouring shots. Well, the one old guy went home, left his nephew to close up, and it was just the three of us there. And the Scotsman fell sideways off the stool.
Right.
The Cork man started running through the bar, ripping down all the decorations, which were hanging up there all week.
Yeah.
And I sat there very quietly in the corner with the other Scotsman, who it turned out had cerebral palsy, and no one could understand him for the week that he was there except for me. But that was only after I drank about 8 shots of poteen after drinking all week.
Oh, geez.
So I would say that drinking, I would give the Scotsman the edge over the Irishman.
Right. Now, I have a Scot heritage myself. My mom was a McLaren, and I've always felt like natural for me to drink scotch and stuff like that. It just goes well with me. I wouldn't necessarily encourage everybody to do it. It sounds like maybe you've put down the bottle a little bit. Is that true?
Oh, yeah. That was 14 and a half years ago, and there was a good reason for it. But you know what? When I was out there having fun, I met a lot of fun and interesting people that were, you know, able to handle their drinking, and the guys that couldn't, obviously, are the ones that I wound up with, and we don't drink, and we still drink a lot of coffee, and we laugh, and we have a good time together.
Oh, I'm glad you called, and that's good to hear. You got to take it easy as you get a little older. It gets harder, doesn't it? The body can't handle it like a young person.
Oh, yeah. I wish it was just the body, but it was my brain that was going, so I was concerned about my thinking, you know, as much as the drinking. But, hey, Clay, I love your show, man. I love what you're doing. Positive stuff, and keep it up, my brother.
I'm glad you got that clarity back and that you're taking care of yourself. Happy holidays, my friend.
Same to you, Clay. Take care now.
Take care, my brother. There he goes from Staten Island. Let's do today in history, can we? Just a quickie. On this day in 1929, bingo was invented by Edwin Lowe, and the world was never the same. 1952, the New York Daily News reported Christine Jurgensen was the first notable case of sex reassignment surgery. Talk about brave, 1952. 1955, Montgomery, Alabama, Rosa Parks refuses to give up that bus seat to a white dude and is arrested for violating the city's racial segregation laws. That crap's got to end. 1960, Paul McCartney and Pete Best are arrested and deported from Hamburg, Germany after accusations of attempted arson. 1969, Vietnam War, the first draft lottery in the U.S. is held since World War II. I had a couple of older brothers. I remember that scary lottery with the ping pong ball. Some of you older listeners remember that. 76, the Sex Pistols, using profanity on TV, gets them branded as rotten punks. 1994, Cindy Crawford and Richard Gere announced that they're separating. Birthdays today, Woody Allen, Richard Pryor, posthumously, John Densmore from The Doors, he's still kicking, Bette Midler, happy birthday, Gilbert O'Sullivan, Alone Again, Naturally, Jaco Pastorius, we miss you, the myth, Jaco, wow, he was great, Sarah Silverman, happy birthday, may I wad and toss. That's it for me. I can't believe it's over. The whole week. You guys have been fantastic this week. What great listeners you are. Thanks for listening to the Wake and Bake podcast, a weekly digest of some of the segments that make up WFMU's weekday morning show. Wake and Bake, heard in its entirety Monday through Friday, 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern on WFMU.org. Join me live every morning for the full show, which includes a lot more than what you'll hear here. You can also hear the full show on streaming archives at WFMU.org/playlists/WA.